Revival Ministries International. Again, that's just touching the world from their headquarters in Tampa, Florida. But a son of Africa. And thank God. Let's just open up our hearts and let's give a warm, warm welcome to Dr. Rodney Howard Brown.
Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord this shout of praise. What a high honor it is for me to find myself in Lusaka, in the beautiful city, in the wonderful nation of Zambia today. We are on an excursion that has taken us already 21 days through Zambia, on to Zimbabwe, and then Mozambique and Malawi, falling in the footsteps of David Livingstone. And of course, I was not even sure that we could even be here today, but what a high honor to be here. And I believe the Lord is going to touch all the hungry today. Who is hungry and thirsty for what the Lord has today? Then he said, you're going to be filled, and the Lord's going to touch in a special way. How many did get to watch some of the 50 Days of Glory from East London, South Africa? Wave your hand. If you got to see that on the TBN station, wave your hand. You know, the Lord called Adonica. Honey, you stand up if you would, please. She was born in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe. And I was born in Port Elizabeth in the Eastern Cape. So we're both Africans. God sent us as missionaries to America 22 years ago. So we actually are African Americans living in the United States. And revival broke out that's now carried us to 50 countries of the world. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to us about was the purpose of the move of God to come to the church is just like the book of Acts, where Acts 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way to Lusaka, Zambia. Amen. And so we just believe in God this morning to just ignite a fire. Those that are already on fire, you're going to burn even brighter. Those that had a little flame, it's going to be a bonfire before the end of the service today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, you watch over your word to perform it, and your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing of the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. And your word is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And I pray even now that every ear is in order to hear, every heart receptive to receive all that heaven has. Cause even the effect of this service today to have far-reaching results even unto eternity. I pray for the wind of heaven to blow through this place, the rain of heaven to come down, the fire of God to fall, fresh oil to be poured out upon your people, the river of God to run through this place, new wine to be poured out. Father, we thank you for Zambia. We see Zambia shaken by the mighty hand of God. We see the city of Lusaka shaken by the hand of God. And the harvest of souls shall be great that will come in. Lord, thank you for this new building. But Lord, we even know that it's too small for what you're about to do, that it's going to be greater, even greater things shall be made manifest. And Father, I just thank you for your people today. And I pray that you would bless them beyond measure. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. I want to read you this morning. We're going to start off in the book of John chapter 4. If you go there with me, please. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. How many know the story? And I love to term it this way. Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well about a well and made her a well. Can you say that after me? Say, Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well about a well and made her a well. Jesus said to the woman, and we read in verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. How many have been thirsty in your life? Wave your hand at me. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But then he went on to say, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. There is a thirst in the hearts of men around the world. Everywhere we travel, people are thirsty. You just have to look even in the city of Lusaka today. People running around looking for something to satisfy. But Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. A well on the inside. Put your hand right there. A well on the inside springing up to everlasting life. What's he talking about here? He's talking about salvation. When you get born again, you got a well on the inside of you. That's why when you get saved, you're not going to be dry anymore. You know, traveling through Africa, I've seen a lot of dry riverbeds. And also, when you go through the villages, you have a look and you see each village has a well. But how many know that there are wells that have run dry? I travel around, I look at Christians and I see, well, their well looks like ran dry. They haven't had water in a long, long time. People that are bound by religion and tradition. And there are many religions in the world. Religion is man's vain attempt to reach God. But Christianity is God reaching man through the person of Jesus Christ. Thank God that 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, paid the price on the cross of Calvary that you and I could go free. And because of the blood of Jesus, you and I, regardless of where we are born, how much money we have or don't have, education, all of these things, it does not matter. This well is available for every single person. And something happens when the well comes on the inside of you. This living water is going to begin to flow. Hallelujah. And something about a well that is awesome is that it can provide water for a whole village. But you know, a well cannot handle a nation. Thank God we don't have the Zambezi well. But we got a Zambezi river. Now I'll tell you, there's nothing like watching the mighty Zambezi river as it flows down into the sea. Now go with me, if you would please, to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And look at verse 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, there's that word thirst again. You know, one of the things that I noticed about the Lord, and of course the Bible speaks about Jesus, says, come and dine, come and eat, come and drink. And he talks about spiritual food. If you're hungry, come and eat. If you're thirsty, come and drink. That the Lord has set for us a banquet table. And what's so phenomenal about it is that banquet table is in the presence of our enemies. Isn't that right? Amen. And a lot of people, many times, they focus on their enemies and they miss out on the banquet table. The greatest insult that you can give your enemies is to sit there and feast. While he's gnashing his teeth, angry because he wants to kill you, and you're sitting at the banquet table. Isn't that phenomenal? The psalmist said, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. And you sit at that banquet table, you're eating the heavenly bread, you're drinking of the living water, you're drinking of the new wine, and you're having your head anointed with oil. And when your cup is filled to the top and running over, and when you get up and leave, two angels, one by the name of goodness, the other by the name of mercy, follow you. Now that's a pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. Amen. But when we come and we eat of heaven's bread, when we come and we drink of the living water, then he satisfies us. How many of you know, you met Christians, they're not satisfied. They're always like trying everything out that the world has. You know, they come to church on Sunday morning, they go to church, they do their little 1 hour service, in by 10, out by 11, three hymns, three hers, take up the offertory, preach from the Encyclopedia Britannica and the Reader's Digest, pronounce the last rites, and everybody goes home just as dead as what they came. When I first went to America, And God sent us there as missionaries. I mean, we were in some churches that were so dead. One church was so dead, a man was sitting on the back row, had a heart attack and died. We called the ambulance. They came to carry it out five rows of people before they found the right person. Now, that's dead. But this hunger and this thirst that he satisfies because he gives us that which money cannot buy. You can get your bigger house and be miserable. And people, you know, they always want something. Well, I got to get, if I get this house, I'll be happy. They get the house, they're not happy. If I get that car, I'll be happy. They get the car, they're not happy. If I get my hair done a certain way, I'll be happy. They get the hair done. If I can cut my hair off, they cut the hair off. They're still not happy. If I can get this possession or that possession, if I can get a new wife, I'll be happy. They get a wife. If I can get rid of her, I'll be happy. People are doing everything they can to try to get satisfied. But Jesus is the one that brings that satisfaction. And he brings it by this living water. It is alive. This living water is alive. And when it comes, that well of salvation will bubble up on the inside of you and spring up. If you remember that song from years ago, spring up a well within my soul. Remember that? We used to sing that. And then there we go, it's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. This singing. Anybody remember that one? And you look at some people and there's nothing bubbling. Now he says here, verse 37, in the last day, great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, where's your belly? Put your hand on your belly. My hand used to be way out there because I've lost like 65 kilograms. The Lord helped me shrink. So my hand, when if you said put your hand on your belly, my hand used to be out there. So my hand, you know, my hand's closer to my belly now than it's ever been. Out of your belly will flow rivers. He didn't say out of your head will flow. Where's your head? Put your hand on your head. Now notice the difference between your head and your belly. There's a difference. You cannot get this river to flow out of here. This river comes down from within. And one of the things that the devil hates, he hates the living water. You can see it in the life of Abraham, who went around and he dug wells. And as fast as he dug the wells, the Philistines of life would come and would block up those wells. That's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to come with everything that he can do to block up that living water so that that living water will not flow out of you. Because the devil is afraid that if living water starts flowing out of you, it's going to start affecting your friends, your family, your loved one, your neighborhood. And then he definitely does not want a river to flow. That's why the devil comes and he builds all these dams to block the flow of living water. And what does he do? He comes with obstacles. He comes with situations in your life, whether it be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, or storms that come against people that the enemy does everything in his power to try to stop that living water. To tell you that no one is going to benefit from what's on the inside of you. But I want you to know today that that is a lie. Because God has invested in you this rich living water that will not only impact your life, but will impact the life of your family, your friends, your loved ones, and the whole nation of Zambia will be shaken because of this living water that's on the inside of you. And you have to believe in the finished work of the cross. You have to believe in the finished finished work of Calvary. You have to believe that when Jesus cried, "It is finished," that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the Holy Spirit came out of an earthly tabernacle, never again to live therein, but to come and live in your heart, my heart, so we become temples of the living God. For God has said, "I will dwell in them, I'll walk in them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now forgive me if I get excited. I just come right out of the bush. Let me tell you right now, I've seen I saw some hyenas that were more excited than some of you just sit looking at me here today. But I can't be quiet about this. I cannot tone it down. Someone said, "Well, you need to calm down about it." No, I can't calm down about it. I'm not going to calm down about it. I'm going to shout it from the mountaintops, from the rooftops, until everybody knows. Hallelujah. 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 Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That living water's got to come out of you. And the enemy knows it. And he's afraid. He'll come and he'll lie. He'll do everything he can to try to stop that water. But once you realize, I'm telling you right now, once you realize that river will flow out of you and it will flood the banks. We were just right now, last night, camped on the banks of the Luangwa River. And it had just recently come down in flood. Let me tell you when it comes down in flood. Nothing can stop it. And God wants that flood to flow from you. Because the whole city is about to get shaken. I thought I'd have a little bit more response from that. A whole city is about to get shaken. A whole nation is about to be shaken. If you think your job is just to come to church on Sunday and look pretty, that's not what your job is. Your job is to flood the city. And the only way you flood the city is not what you do here on just on a Sunday morning. Sunday morning's your reasonable service. How you flood a city is what you do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Because God has placed His that living water on the inside of you if you are born again. And then there is a responsibility that every one of you have. You cannot make excuses anymore. You can't make an excuse. "Well, I'll tell you what. If the living water can flow out of me, if this and that." No! You've got to flood your banks. That water's got to flow out of you in spite of every circumstance, in spite of every storm, every attack of the wicked one that will come against your life. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I might run around the building 3 times. Forgive me, I'm an African. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, one thing I realize, a lot of people don't really realize what's on the inside of them. They think it's all about what's up in their head. It's not what's up in your head. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. One man, one woman, full of the power of God. That's all God's looking for. Down through history, there have been people that grabbed a hold of this and they blazed the trail. We've just been following in the footsteps of Livingston. He had malaria 60 times. 60 times. Most people would have quit after 3. He never quit. He said, "I'll go anywhere except backwards." He never quit. Crossed crocodile-infested waters. I think he was a host for every known disease of the day. Over 150 years ago, he just wouldn't quit. And you know what? Everywhere you go, you can still see his footprints today. We were just in Malawi. You can see his footprints today. Why? Because somebody knew that there was a life on the inside of him. I'm believing God that there's going to be a whole new generation of people that God is going to raise up in the 21st century that's going to rise up with this living water, that are not going to accept the status quo, that are not just going to be Sunday morning Christians, but are going to rise up, and that water is going to flow from them Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday will be a celebration of all of the good things that God has done through them during the week, and the blind are seeing, and the deaf are hearing, and the lame are walking, the dead are being raised, and everywhere they go, there's the fire of God that is following them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I don't want you to get too excited about this, please. Just calm down over this side is getting too excited. Yeah? And you too, just calm down, relax a little bit. I mean, this is only a message I'm preaching. No, you won't. You better get excited about it. You know what happened this last weekend in Blantyre on Saturday night? The power of God hit a 13-year-old young man. The glory of God hit him. He started speaking in other tongues for the first time in his life and was out under the anointing for several hours. On Sunday morning at the second service, I called him up. I said, son, what happened to you last night? He said, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, and you were on the floor. He said, yes. I said, what happened? He said, God spoke to me today. I mean, last night. I said, what did he say? I give him the mic. I said, what did he speak to you about? He turned to my interpreter. He said, he spoke to me about him. You could feel the air suck out of the room. And then he started prophesying over the interpreter. Then he said, he spoke to me about the bishop, the pastor, the senior pastor, and started prophesying over the pastor, and then rebuked the church for their complacency. A 13-year-old. And the mother and father were like, nervous wreck. What's our son doing? They were like a nervous wreck. They were like, oh, the father said, we need to stop him. I said, leave him, a 13-year-old boy will never do that. And then he knelt in prayer and asked the pastors, on behalf of the church, we want to ask your forgiveness for treating you just like common. This little 13-year-old boy. And he said, we're going to place a demand on the gift on your life. And I just stood there and wow, adults started crying all over the place, and then the power of God hit. And all these young kids, 13, 14, 15, some as young as 10, all got baptized in the Holy Ghost, just started speaking in other tongues. That living water started flowing in Blantyre, Malawi, because of a young boy that got touched by the fire of God. Now we have a chance to just sit and read history books, or we have an opportunity to write history. And God is raising up an army of Zambians that are going to go marching through Africa, that are going to carry the fire of God to every village in Zambia is going to know that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Because of that living water that's on the inside of you. Some of you thought you were just coming to church today. I got news for you. You're going to get fired up today, whether you want to or not. If you don't want to, you better make a run for the door right now. But I promise you, it's probably too late already, because an angel's got your name and an angel's got your number, and he'll follow you home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many feel the fire of God in this place this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, living water. You can't compare it to anything. There's nothing that can even compare. This living water, it's alive. It's alive. Hallelujah. There's no age restriction. And this living water doesn't need a passport. And it doesn't need a visa. The devil says, well, we haven't stamped for you to even come in. The living water says, living water just comes in. It rushes in everywhere. It hits the young. It hits the old. It hits the poor. It hits the rich. The question today is, will you allow that living water to flow out of you? Because one thing to get it, everybody can get it. Every single one of you can get the living water. But will you allow it to flow out of you? It's one thing to come and sit and watch it flow out of somebody else. See, some people, they look at me right now and they say, well, he's not even wearing a tie. I didn't. I would have stolen the tie off one of the monkeys running around the campsite last night, but they weren't even wearing a tie. Living water's got nothing to do with wearing a tie or not wearing a tie. Amen. Yeah. Not up here. Here. Put your hand back on your belly again. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I want you to think about this. Jesus walked with these disciples, and they walked with him for 3.5 years of earthly ministry. They had already seen miracles. He'd already given them power to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils. They had already gone around and seen the miraculous. But just before he left the earth, he said to them, I want you to go and tarry at Jerusalem. He even said to them, he said, it's better for you that I go away. If I was one of the disciples, I would have been arguing with him. What do you mean it's better for me? I don't want you to go. You can't go, Lord. You got to stay here. No, it's better for you that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But when he's come, he's with you now, but he's going to be in you. You can read about it in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He talked about that comforter, that paraclete, the one called alongside to help. Your standby, your strengthener, your intercessor, your teacher, your guide, your helper. Everything you need is in the third person of the Godhead, the mighty Holy Ghost. Send to the earth. And Jesus told the disciples, you need to go and wait in Jerusalem until you get endued with power. And so here's 120 of them in the upper room waiting. I often thought about that. You think about Jesus having his earthly ministry. Tens of thousands of people followed him, yet only 120 people made it to the upper room. You think, what's up with that? How did only 120 people make it to the upper room? Think about it. What happened to the rest of them? Maybe they were there. Maybe there were hundreds more that showed up, but they couldn't wait. I can't wait any longer. I mean, Jesus said the Holy Spirit was coming. He hasn't got here yet. I can't stay around another day. My mother-in-law comes in. She's coming in from Jericho. I have to pick her up at the Camel station tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. The other guy said, yeah, he says, I know tomorrow I've got an appointment at the camel dealer because I'm trading my one hump camel in for a two hump camel because I believe the two hump camel gets better gas mileage. Come on, that was a joke, folks. So imagine leaving the upper room. Imagine leaving the upper room at 5 to 9 because you had to go to the restroom. So you were out. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, 120 people with one accord in one place. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. No, say it again, like it's suddenly. Much better. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared in them cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. 120 people full of this living water, full of this river, went out. Now listen to this. On the streets. And guess what happened? 3,000 people were saved. It sounded like a river just flooded its banks. 120 people fold, 3,000 saved. And then 5,000 saved. The proof of this living water coming in your life is everywhere you go. People are going to get saved. People will get saved. The Lord told me, he said, it's time for the harvest. It's time to get the people back to what the early church walked in the power of God with signs and wonders and miracles, to bring in this harvest of souls. Can you say amen? When revival broke out in April of 1989 in upstate New York, we were there on a Tuesday morning and the glory of God rolled in like a wave of the sea and the power of God hit the place. I didn't realize all of what the Lord would do. I didn't realize that it would carry us to 50 countries of the world, but I didn't also realize that the full impact of that would result in a harvest of souls. When God spoke to us in the month of, end of January, February of 1998, spoke to me in a dream, and we went to New York City in the summer of 99, and we launched a crusade there that went 6 weeks, that we saw 48,000 people saved in New York City. I rented Madison Square Garden for 6 weeks, and we launched what we're doing today. Let me just say this, because once people get filled, if you don't give them the opportunity to give out of that living water, what happens a lot of times, if the living water does not flow, it becomes a stale, stagnant pool. There are many people in religion today that were touched by the power of God, but today they have a stale, stagnant pool that only breeds mosquitoes and has green slime on it. Somebody say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I've been in the way for 40 years. Yeah, you have. You've been in the way, blocking up the way. Nobody else has been able to come through. Let me ask a question. When last did you personally lead somebody to Jesus? Now, it's getting very quiet here now. Somebody said, well, that's not really my job. Oh. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every creature, if it looks like a creature, preach to it. Amen. It's our job to get people saved. Every single one of us. Somebody said, well, I'm not an evangelist. Who said it was an evangelist's job to get people saved? It's an evangelist's job to get you fired up to go get people saved. Can you say amen? Somebody said, well, I'm too busy. My job. Forget that. You drive a you get on a taxi sometime. Lead the taxi unto the Lord. You get on a plane, lead the person, the stewardess to the Lord. You at a hotel, wherever you are, you lead somebody to Jesus. And we have done mass crusades, but let me tell you, you can't leave the harvest up to a couple of mass crusade evangelists. Hello? Every believer, it's time to mobilize every single believer. The Lord said that to me. That's why in 34 months in America, we visited 55 cities in the United States, mobilized 34,000 believers, and we saw 1.1 million people give their lives to the Lord. This just happened now in the United States. The Lord said to me, it's time to mobilize everybody in the pew. I've come here for one purpose today, and be honest with you, 24 hours a day, 24 hours ago, I didn't even know I'd be here, but the Lord knew. And we've come here to light a fire. We've come here to mobilize for souls. How many have unsaved loved ones? Wave your hand at me. It's time to bring them into the kingdom. How many have unsaved workers, friends at your work or job? Wave your hand at me. It's time to bring them into the kingdom. It's time to see the power of God hit the primary schools and the high schools and the university campuses, from the government house to the penthouse to the crack house to the jailhouse to the schoolhouse to every house. Come on now, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, once you get this, it'll never stop all the days of your life. In actual fact, you're going to get more and more radical. I'm talking about radical. Somebody said, radical people make me nervous. Yeah, you'll be one of the people making them nervous. The Lord gave me the analogy of Samson. How many know the story? He took 300 foxes and he set fire to the tails. How many know that story? Three of you. Come on, respond here. Talk to me. How many know the story of Samson setting fire to the foxes? Thank you. Can you imagine catching 300 foxes? That's not some small thing. You got foxes here in Zambia, don't you? Huh? Do you have foxes in Zambia? You do. 300 he caught. I've watched on television a whole group of Englishmen on horses, dressed up with dogs, try to catch one fox. Tally-ho, 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 old chap. Jolly good show, old boy. Let's get the fox. And they can't catch one fox. Samson caught 300 foxes and set fire to the tails. Something about a fox with fire in his tail. He's not going to sit around to discuss something. Something happens when you get a fire in your tail. You can't sit still. You have to move. Now, here's what we think. We think that these foxes were specially bred foxes. Show foxes. Not a hair out of place. From the tip of their nose to the tip of their tail. Specially pedigreed foxes. No, these were just foxes caught out in the bush. And when he caught these foxes, you know that some of the foxes must have had a defect. Let's say, for example, this didn't happen, but let's say it happened. Let's say Samson caught a fox and he looked at the fox and the thing had one eye. A one-eyed fox. Samson did not say, oh, we can't use this fox. This thing's got one eye. We need to find a fox that has two eyes. Look, we're not looking for a fox to look. We're looking for, does he have a tail? Yes. If he's got a tail, put fire. You take a one-eyed fox, put fire on his tail. There he goes. Through the field of the enemy, causing havoc. Let's say he caught another fox, and this fox has got no teeth. Samson didn't say, oh, we can't use this fox. This thing's got no teeth. We are not looking for foxes to chew. Does he have a tail? Yes. Put fire on his tail. You put fire on the tail. There he goes. Let's say he catches another fox. This one limps. The one leg is not too good. He's got three good legs. He didn't say, oh, this is a three-legged fox. It doesn't matter. Put fire on his tail. He might run like this. But he's still going to cause trouble in the field of the enemy. And then let me give you one more. I mean, one more fox. Let's say he catches fox. The thing's bald. The fox has got no hair on its head. It's bald. He didn't say, oh, we can't use this fox. This fox has got no hair on its head. Look, it doesn't matter if it's got no hair on its head. Does he have hair on his tail? Yeah. Then put fire on his tail. What am I here to tell you today? You might be a one-eyed, toothless, crippled, bald fox. But let me tell you, when the fire of God gets a hold of you, you will run. You will run. It doesn't matter about all of these defects. The fire of God will supersede all of these things. Hallelujah. 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 I just saw somebody say, there's hope for me. It's time to see Zambia shaken by the power of God. Zambia declared a Christian nation. I had the privilege of meeting one of your former presidents, President Chiluba, in London, England. I was ministering there at the Wembley Conference Center, and I received word that the president of Zambia and all of his men were coming to the meeting. And we were having meetings. The power of God was falling. I said, Lord, now we have to have a quiet meeting today because the president of Zambia is coming. The Lord said, the president of Zambia is not coming to your meeting because you have quiet meetings. And you know, the first person in the line was the president and all of his men. And the bodyguards held him up. They held him up. And the next day, I had the privilege of meeting him privately. And you know, I know he declared Zambia a Christian nation, and we don't ever want that to change. I tell you, we everywhere we see the rising tide of Islam, where Islam's trying to take over a whole nation, but we're not going to allow that to happen in Zambia. I said, we're not going to allow that to happen in Zambia. Zambia is a land and shall be even greater. And who knows what God will do with Zambia. Could Zambia be the first nation totally in Africa, totally run by the things of God and by the Holy Ghost? How many believe that God would do such a thing with your precious country? Hallelujah. Well, then that falls on this generation. It falls on every single one of us. Can you say amen? You could say, well, I'm going to leave it for another group of people that will come along. Another generation will come. No, it falls on us. Today, in this month of August 2010, if God puts living water on the inside of you, then you have a responsibility to share that with everybody everywhere you go. In spite of defects, in spite of every storm that comes against your life, in spite of this, that, or the other thing. If I told you the obstacles that my wife and I have had to overcome over the years, this year we've been married 29 years. Let me tell you right now, our three children grown up, one of our kids is in heaven. She died in her arms 7.5 years ago. She was 18 years old. On Christmas Day, she died. We've got grandchildren now. In actual fact, our third grandbaby is about to be born right now. Right now, this next week. Today is the due date. My daughter texted me yesterday, said, hasn't come yet. I think maybe he's waiting for Granny and Grandpa to get home. But if I had to tell you how God has sustained us by this living water, if I had to tell you how the Lord has helped us through when ministries have blown themselves out of the water, marriages are blowing up, people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff, if it wasn't for this living water, if we wouldn't even be here today. It's not that you're not going to have any obstacles. They're going to be there. It's not that you're not going to have situations that come against you. They're going to be situations come against you. But that living water is going to sustain you. And you know one thing about this living water? The Lord has a habit of turning water into wine. I'm just telling you right now. He has a habit of doing it. The first miracle he did in Cana of Galilee, he turned the water into wine. And they said he saved the best until last. And you and I are this final generation. I believe that will usher in the return of the King. And Jesus is going to come back no matter what people are saying today. And we want to be ready. And I don't know about you, but we want to take as many people with us when we leave this earth. And we're not going to let the devil have our family. We're not going to let him have any of our loved ones. We're not going to let him have anybody. Somebody said, well, aren't you satisfied since when my daughter died in my arms 7.5 years ago, I vowed 100 million souls. Since she's gone home, 4.5 million. Somebody said, aren't you satisfied? I said, no, we're not satisfied. Sorry, brother, didn't mean to shake you there. No, we are not satisfied. We are not going to stop. We are not going to stop. There's 6 billion people on the planet. We're not going to stop. We are not going to stop. We're going to do everything we can with everything we have to shout it out. And I think there are some boxes here today that the Lord is going to put a big fire in your tail. And some major things are going to happen. Can you say amen? I challenge you today. When last did you lead somebody to Jesus? That living water that's on the inside of you, when last did you let it flow? It's time. No more excuses. Somebody said, we're going to leave it up to pastor and his wife. No. Absolutely not. It's not up to them. It's up to you. Because they can let the water flow out of them, but you've got to let the water flow out of you. The world is waiting to hear what's in you. If you don't believe there's any water, then don't say a thing. If you believe there's living water, then you have to speak up. In spite of criticism, in spite of persecution. Let me ask a question. How many have ever been criticized? Wave your hand. Three of you. How many have ever been criticized? Wave your hand. Welcome to the planet. How many have ever been persecuted? Come on. If you're not persecuted, you're not living a Christian life. You're living a compromise. We're not here to be liked. We're here to get the job done. Can you say amen? Why? Because the day is going to come where we stand before Him and we hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." How many want to hear the Lord say that?